briefs tonight, and I don't take it lightly, but well, hadn't the Lord been so good to us this last week? The last few weeks, the Lord's just, in this revival, the Lord's been so good to us. We've seen people coming up and getting right with God. We've seen people surrendering their lives to whatever God has for them to do. And most importantly, we've seen people getting saved. God has just been so good to us. And even knowing God's always good, but I got thinking about people getting saved this week, and I got thinking about how much Jesus loves us. And he loves us so much that it's just unexplainable how much Jesus really loves us. Anyways, I got thinking about a verse this week. I got thinking about John 3:16. If you take your Bibles and turn to John 3:16, I just want to read a verse here. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God has loved us so much. Jesus Christ, God sent his only Son down to this cross to die for each and every one of us. God loved us so much that he was beaten with a whip. He loved us so much that he had a crown of thorns jammed into his skull. I'm just going to read this verse here. You don't have to turn, but Matthew 27:29 says, "And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." Jesus was also loved us so much that he was mocked, and he was spit upon. Luke 18:32 says, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted upon." Jesus loved us so much that he was also was literally mutilated because he loved us. Isaiah 52:14 says, As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Bible also says that Jesus loved us so much that he went to hell for 3 days for us. In Matthew 12:40 it says, For as Jonas went 3 days and three nights into the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus Christ paid a price that we could not pay. He paid a price that would be impossible for us to pay. He made a way that we would not have to go to hell for eternity, but a way that we could go to heaven for eternity. I'm not going to preach on salvation tonight. I'm not going to preach on how much Jesus loved us. Even though I did hit on that a little bit tonight, I'm not going to be preaching on that. I have a... first of all, I want to read a little thing that I got. I heard a famous preacher. He told this story one time. A famous preacher used to tell of a man of great intellectual power, whom he longed to win. To do so, the famous preacher preached a whole series of sermons dealing with intellectual difficulties. To the doctor's delight, the man came shortly afterward and said that he had become a convinced Christian and that he wanted to join the church. Overjoyed, the doctor said, "And which of my sermons was it that removed your doubts?" "Your sermon?" said the other. "It wasn't any of your sermons. The thing that set me thinking was that a poor woman came out of your church beside me and stumbled on the steps. When I put out my hand to help her, she smiled and said, 'Thank you,' and then added, 'Do you love Jesus, my blessed Savior? He means everything to me.' I did not then, but I thought about it. I found I was on the wrong road. I still have many intellectual difficulties, but now he means everything to me." The title of my sermon tonight is, "Do We Really Love Jesus?" Do we really love Jesus? Jesus Christ, I went through those things about Jesus loving us. He has loved us so much that I think it only proper and right for us to love him back. We need to show Jesus that we love him. And if you take your Bibles to John chapter 14 and verse 15, John chapter 14 and verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we love Jesus, we're going to keep his commandments. We're not going to have a problem keeping Jesus' commandments if we love him. I read a poem entitled, "Love Makes Obedience." Love makes obedience a thing of joy, to do the will of one we like to please. In every hardship, though it tax our strength, each privilege of service love will seize. Love makes us loyal, glad to do or go, and eager to defend the name or cause. Love takes a drudgery from common work and asks no rich reward and some great applause. Love gives us satisfaction in our task and wealth in learning lessons of the heart. Love sheds a light of glory on our toil and makes us humbly glad to have a part. Love makes us choose to do the will of God, to run his errands and proclaim his truth. It gives our hearts an eager, lifting song. Our feet are shod with tireless wings of youth. I got thinking of that. You know, if we love Jesus, we're not going to have a problem serving God. We're not going to have a problem doing what's right. And secondly, if we love Jesus, we'll be here for church. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, please. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Jesus Christ expects us to be here in church. If we love Jesus, we're also not even going to have a problem being here in church. If we have a true love for Jesus, we're going to want to be here in church. We're going to want to do what's right. A man wants to ask, is it possible to be a Christian without going to church? Well, the answer is obviously yes. But it is like a student who will not go to school, a soldier who will not join the army, a citizen who does not pay taxes, a salesman with no customers, an explorer with no base camp, a seaman on a ship without a crew, a businessman on a deserted island, an author without readers, a tuba player without an orchestra, a parent without a family, a football player without a team, a politician who is a hermit, a scientist who does not share his findings, and a bee without a hive. We cannot serve Jesus like we ought to unless we're here for church. So if we love Jesus, we're going to be here for church. Third of all, if we love Jesus, we will read our Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you'd turn there, please. If we love Jesus, we will read our Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we love Jesus, we're going to want to read our Bible. John Quincy Adams once gave a testimony. He said, "I have for many years made it a practice to read through my Bible once a year. My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters every morning immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time and seems to me the most suitable of beginning the day. In what light soever we regard the Bible, whether with reference to revelation, to history, or to morality, it is an invaluable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue." I thought, wow, that was a pretty good statement that he made. And if we love Jesus, we're going to dig into our Bible. We're going to search the Bible and find out what the Lord, or we're going to read, and we're going to read our Bibles. And then fourth, if we love Jesus, we will pray. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You don't have to turn there, but I also wrote 2 other verses down. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And then 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." One day there was a man who came to church and walked over to one of the visitors, or to one of the members, and said, "Hello." The man did not answer. Figuring the man did not hear him, the man walked a little closer and asked the man how he was doing that day. Figuring maybe the man was deaf, the man still did not answer. Figuring maybe the man was deaf, he sticks out his hand to shake his hand, and he turns and walks away. Later, he is watching the man who did not hear him, and sees another man walk up to him and say hello. The man responds and shakes his hand. After feeling a little rejected, he goes up to the man and tries to talk to the man again, but he continues to just be ignored. I wonder how we would feel if that were to happen to us. I think we might get a little bit upset about it. But you know, sometimes I think that maybe we do the exact same thing to Jesus. Jesus is trying to get our attention. Jesus wants to talk to us. Jesus wants us to pray to him. But sometimes I think maybe we kind of ignore him, put him off to the side. But I want to say tonight, if we really love Jesus, we're going to pray. Tonight, I want to end my sermon by, I'm going to read three verses. I'm going to ask a question. I'll be finished. If you would, turn to John 21. John chapter 21, verse 15. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep." I want to ask every one of us, including myself, to ask ourselves a simple question. Do we love Jesus like we say? Do we love Jesus like we ought to? And that's it. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Justin. Good message, and we appreciate it very, very much. Our next preacher is Brother Caleb Hall, and he's been attending Hiles Anderson College up at Hammond. And Brother Caleb, you come, you preach to us.
Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Preacher, I love you and I have a great amount of loyalty to you, and I appreciate you letting me preach tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this night. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I know that I have nothing to give of myself, but God, I have your word. God, I have a message that you've given me. Lord, please speak to these teenagers' hearts as you spoke to me with this message. And you might pray, amen. The Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah said something that amazes me. He says, "I don't see anybody else around here, Lord, but I know one person that you can send, God, and you can send me." I have a question for you, young person. Can God send you wherever he wants to send you? I don't care what it costs me, what I have to do, what my friends are doing. I don't care what's popular, but God, if you have something for me to do, God, tonight, I want to know what it is. You send me. Can you say that tonight, young person? Why was Isaiah so willing to do what God's will was? Why could Isaiah look at God and say, "God, I don't care what it costs. God, I don't care what the sacrifice is, but God, you send me if you can use me. God, the little talents that I have, the little that I have to give to you, God, you can use it." What was it that made Isaiah so willing? Let me share something with you. Look at verse 7. "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. See, Isaiah realized that God purchased his life whenever Isaiah accepted salvation. Whenever God gave us salvation and we accepted it, our lives, that moment, became God's. And Isaiah said, God, my life is already yours. You just take what's already yours, God, and I'll give it to you because it's already yours. Look, don't look there, but I'll turn there. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're his already. Why don't you just give them to him and say, God, they're yours already. You can have them back. Why can't you do that? Why can't I do that every day of our life? I was a teenager once. I heard a song written by Bon Jovi. Maybe you've heard of him. He wrote a song and the lyrics went something like this. It's my life. It's now or never. I'm not going to live forever. I want to live that kind of life. And let me tell Bon Jovi something tonight. And let me tell us something. God has a right to have our lives because he purchased them. If you're saved tonight, our lives are his. Let's give them back to him. Hey, they're his already. They're God's. What did Isaiah realize that made him so willing? Number one, God purchased his life whenever he accepted salvation. Number two, God needed someone to go. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Listen to this. Go and tell this people. God had a need for the people of God to be told a message. And Isaiah said, God, I'm not much, but God, what I have, you can have. You can have it. You see, Brother Caleb, what is God looking for? Is he looking for someone that's smart? Is he looking for someone that's talented? Hey, is he looking for someone well-known that can gain a crowd? No, he's looking for somebody willing tonight that says, God, I'll go if you want me to go. Amen. That's what he's looking for. Amen. That's what he's looking for. I want every bus kid in the auditorium to stand up. If you've ridden a bus or you've ever ridden a bus in your life, stand up. Stand up. That's including me. That's including me. Some people say God can't use bus kids. Some people say that God can't use young teenagers. Some people say that a bus kid can't grow up and serve God. Well, I want you to tell that to Brother Paul Chapman tonight in Rhode Island that's serving God tonight. Amen. Hey, you go and tell him that. God can use each and every bus kid in this auditorium, and he can use you. He can use you. God can use us all. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Someone who is willing. Someone who is willing. Point number one, God purchased my life, and he expects it back to him. Number two, God needs someone to go. Number three, Isaiah realized that God is worthy. Amen. Verse number one, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let me tell you something tonight, young person. God is worthy of our lives. He's worthy. He really is. I promise you that he's big enough to take care of you if you serve him. God's big enough to take care of me if I just serve him. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they were created. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I asked one of my bus kids in Aurora, Indiana, where I served while I was going to college. I said, what are you going to do whenever you graduate high school? He said, I'll probably go to a state university and I want to make some money. I said, what about God? Did you ask God about that? He said, I don't need to ask God. I think that's what I'm supposed to do. You need to ask God if you're supposed to do that. Why would a Christian go to a state college where God is blasphemed? My Savior's blasphemed with lies and their talk. Why would we go there? Why? I don't understand that. I said, why don't you ask God about it? Why don't you ask God? I heard about a boy swimming in a river one day. Overlooked the river was a road. And cars passed on that very often. And the boy swam there many times. He knew that, you know, if he ever got in trouble, that a car would probably stop alongside the road and save him. That day he got in trouble. He couldn't catch his breath. He started swimming as fast as he could and got worn out and the current started carrying him. A man stopped, got out of his vehicle, nice business suit, ran down there, threw his coat off, took his shoes off, went down there and saved that boy's life, pulled him up on the banks, and he said, boy, I ruined my $350 suit to save your life. He said, I'm going to climb in a car with leather seats, and I'm going to ruin those seats because I saved your life. I risked widowing my wife back at home. I risked my kids not having a father back at home because I wanted to save your life. He said, you better do something with your life, boy. And he walked off and got in his car. Let me tell you something. Somebody greater and bigger than that businessman came down from heaven. The streets of gold came down off his throne and gave his life for us. And we better do something with our lives for God and for good. We better do something for God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, just please help the next preachers. Thank you for Justin, his message. God, please help the next preachers, empower them. Help our lives to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Caitlin. Appreciate that very much. Why was Isaiah willing to go? Amen. Thank you. Ben Ross is attending Crown College down in Powell, Tennessee, and he's going to come and preach.
Thank you, Pastor. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John 3:16. And I just want to say that I'm grateful for the chance to get to preach tonight. And I'm just going to share something that I'm sure is a blessing to a lot of people, I'm sure. But it's a big blessing to me. I rode my old bus this morning, and Brother Caleb's been helping on there. And he's a good friend of mine. And it was great seeing him on there and stuff. But it was a blessing to me. I've been calling my brother just about every weekend and seeing how my bus is doing, how many kids are coming, who's staying faithful. And my bus route has grown like 10 or 12 people since I've been gone. And then I come back here for the youth revival and I see all the youth and all the kids coming. And I'm looking on my bus and seeing how many people have been faithful the last 3 weeks. And it's unbelievable. It's a blessing to me. It's easy for me to get discouraged at college at times, and I miss home, I miss here, and I know people are praying for me, but it's great. And those of you who are on my bus, I want to thank you again from my heart, from the pulpit, in front of everyone, that you guys are the ones keeping me going. You guys are keeping me going. I call every single week, and I hear, hey, you guys are staying faithful, and it keeps me staying faithful because I know that I have to come back to the bus, and if I didn't stay faithful, who would they have to look to stay faithful? If I drop out, then you are too. I'd like to read John 3:16 tonight. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this night, Lord. Just thank you for the sermons thus far. Just help me, guide me, Lord. Help me to say only what you would have me to say. In your name I pray, amen. Tonight, I just want to bring a simple message and share with you something that was one of the greatest decisions of my life. And I know we have a lot of people here tonight, that a lot of kids and a lot of older adults and a lot of youth that I'm sure has made this decision, but I never know who hasn't made this decision yet. And the first thing I want you to realize is that I'm just a man. And I want you to not listen to me, but listen to God. Listen to your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit talking to your heart. Don't pay attention to anything else. Just listen to God. I want you to realize, number one, that you're a sinner. That's the first step. That's the first step. I want to read a verse out of Romans 3:10 or 3:23. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the first part, the first, very first part, it says, "For all have sinned." Sometimes that's, I've been in children's church, and I know, and I've been in the same position myself when I was younger. It's hard at times to admit that you're a sinner. I know it is, and I know I have. And sometimes, for some people, it's the easiest thing in the world, and other people, it's the hardest thing. But that's the first step. If you can admit you're a sinner, then you're on the right road. You're on the right step. That's the first step to getting saved, to being able to go to heaven someday when you die. If you can't admit that, then you might as well just not, because that's the first step. You have to realize, if you aren't a sinner, then you're already okay to go to heaven, obviously. Well, the Bible shows us that we are sinners. And if we look down inside our hearts, then we'll realize that we are a sinner. I want to go back to John 3:16 and read, "For God so loved the world." And next step you have to do is realize that God died for you. God loved the world. It says that he gave his only begotten son. Now, why? I still don't understand this day. It's one of the greatest mysteries of my mind at times. I don't understand. Why in the world would God create this world, create us, knowing beforehand that he was going to have to take his only son, his one and only son, and send him down on this earth and become sin? He was a perfect person. He had never known sin. Why did God do that? It's because he loved us. Yes. It's because he loved us. And that's our next step. We have to know that God died for us. We have to realize it's not through our power. It's not through us. It's nothing we've done. We can't pay for our sin penalty. It talks in back in Romans. I'll turn there and you don't have to. It says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Those wages, that's our sin. We've admitted we're a sinner. That's the first step. We've admitted our sinner. Next, we have to realize that God died for us and that he paid for those wages that we should be paying for. It wasn't because of us. It wasn't nothing we did. It was because of God and God only. And we have to realize that, secondly. Third thing is, we just have to accept God's gift. Accept God's gift. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So you realize you're a sinner, you realize God died for you, and you have to accept God's gift. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Whosoever. The word whosoever is an all-encompassing word. It includes every single person throughout the entire world, not just now, but through all time. From now till forever, from now through all past, it's as eternal as God is. Whosoever, that encompasses every single person. That means you and you and you and me and pastor and every single person. This is like one of the best things in the world that many people have said before me, and I'm going to say it again, but "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," that, put your name there. Amen. Take out the whosoever and put your name there, because it means you. Amen. It really does. I can put my name there. Can you? Can you put your name there tonight? Are you going to go to heaven someday, or are you going to die and go to hell? I don't want to go back to college and call back here and find out, "Hey, so-and-so, they were coming to church, and we're not sure if they were saved, and they aren't coming back to church anymore." I don't want to hear that. That'll discourage me something awful. That'll be terrible to me, especially you bus kids. I care for you guys a lot, more than you know. I ride my bus, and then I go to children's church, and I talk to kids in children's church, and I've got different guys and different people that come up to me from the other buses that talk to me. Every single time I come home, you're always coming up to me and encouraging me. And I always think they shouldn't be an encouragement to me. I should be the one encouraging them. I should be trying to help them because they need the help. They need to grow as Christians as much as I do. And you guys are the ones encouraging me. So don't give up. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. You really need to get saved tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, very, very much. These are good messages, good, solid messages, and we thank the Lord for them. Our last speaker for tonight is Aaron Boffman, and Aaron is attending Hiles Anderson College in Hammond. And Brother Aaron, you come, you preach to us.
Well, I first off, of course, want to thank Pastor Ross for the opportunity. I don't take this very lightly at all. I know the battles have been fought to have this pulpit to keep it to where it's supposed to be, and the standards that have the battles have been fought to keep the standards for the. Of course, she quickly replied that she'd make sure she'd go tell everybody that she got it from her brother. So we're not going to go that way tonight, since I'm sure she probably it'd be somewhat true. I'm going to take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. I love coming back home. I love being around our church here. I can't find a better place in all the world. I love it here. I know I'm supposed to be at college, but man, that drive back up there is always, you know, so tempting just to turn around. But I know that's where God has me to be. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, it says, a time to kill and a time to heal. I'm sorry, I'm chapter 3, verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And no, I'm not preaching on a time to dance tonight. I'm talking about a time to weep, a time to weep. You know, the Bible says in Luke 6:21, you don't have to turn there. It says, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Kind of knows that, you know, that saying we're supposed to weep now, and later we'll laugh. But right now we're supposed to weep. And, you know, I thought about these verses, and I came across these, and I thought, you know, what does it mean for me to, what is God saying when I should weep? Just saying, you know, okay, when I get bad news from back home, maybe a family member is in an accident, or, you know, somebody becomes sick, that means I'm probably supposed to weep then. And right away, God's like, Aaron, get your mind off yourself. It's like, you're not supposed to just weep for yourself. So tonight, I just want to give you some areas that I chased down this word, weep, in the Bible. And I want to give you some areas tonight that God showed me that we should weep over. First off, you don't have to turn to all these for sake of time. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, it says, and Nehemiah, which is Teresa, and they haven't taught me that one in Bible college yet, I'm sorry. And Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. And it says, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. When they heard the word of the God, they wept. You know, I believe that we should weep over the word of God. When you go to your private time, you go to your prayer closet, you go to your Bible devotions, you should weep sometimes when you read the word of God. You should go before him and say, God, I can't believe what you did for me. When I read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you know, that probably should bring up a little emotion into you. That should stir you up a little bit. And maybe it should bring some tears to your eyes thinking about what Jesus Christ did for you that day. I believe that we should get some, that the Bible should bring out some emotions in us. You know, it should bring out excitement and joy. You know, I hate to think that, you know, when you go to your Bible, you open your Bible and you say, oh, I guess I'm going to read my daily three chapters, open it up, read it, and that's it. You might as well not even do it. You're going to waste your time. If you don't get down to it to where you're reading it and you're taking it all in and you're letting the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart, it's just a waste of time. It's like going to school but not listening to the teacher. Yeah. If you don't listen to the teacher, you're not going to learn anything. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit speaks to our heart when we read His Word, and He tells us things that we need to work on, and He shows us things. And I believe that through what He shows us, you know, sometimes we need to weep over those. Amen. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on some of these points. I'm just going to try to move quickly because of the sake of time. But next one, it says, not only should you weep over His commandments, but you should weep over your closeness to Him. It says in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 16, For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. You should weep because you're not close to God sometimes. Hey, you know, does it matter to you if every day, if you're not walking with God, if you don't have your daily time with God, does it even affect you throughout your day? Is it even something that you even notice? Or is it just, I missed it today. Oh, well. It should be a big deal. It's a big deal when you miss your walk with God. It's a very big deal. I'm afraid that we have too much of a ho-hum attitude about walking with God and reading His Word to make sure we have time in prayer. You should be close to God. Don't get this ho-hum attitude. You know, what's wrong with the attitude of draw me nearer? Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. What's wrong with that attitude? What's wrong with that attitude? What's your attitude? Is it draw me nearer or, it's Saturday. I don't read my Bible on Saturday. I'm out on my daily schedule. How's Sunday? How's Sunday when you read your Bible? Well, I get up early, I go to church. I don't have time to read my Bible. That throws me out of my schedule. Sunday should be definitely the most important day you read your Bible and you go to prayer. You should weep over His commandments. You should weep over your closeness to Him. Hey, you know, going back to closeness here, I won't miss this, but you know, other people rely on your walk with God. You know, other people rely on your walk with God. Sunday school teachers, your kids rely on your walk with God. It's a very big deal when you miss a week of devotions and prayer. Other people rely on your walk with God. Hey, you know, when I go to Chicago and I see my bus kids, they rely on my walk with God. They rely on what I got from my Bible to teach them and show them some principles. They rely on my prayer. They rely on my prayer. Hey, you know, nobody else is going to pray for that teenage girl to go through all her teenage years and make it pure and get to the marriage altar someday. Their mom won't pray for her. Her dad won't pray for her. The teenage boy she goes to school with won't pray for her. Hey, nobody else is going to pray for that teenage boy to get out and do something for God someday.
That's right.
Nobody else will. The mom who don't care about him, who neglects him, ain't going to care about him.
Right.
You know, there's bus kids that rely on your prayers today.
Amen.
You realize that? Your walk with God is very important. Teenagers, you realize that there's kids? You ride that bus. It shouldn't just be an extracurricular activity. You should be there, and you should have a walk with God, and you should reach those kids, and you should be an example to them, and they should get something from what you got this week in your walk with God.
Amen.
They should get something from your walk with God. It's very important on your closeness with God. Other people rely on your closeness. Not only should you weep over His commandments and weep over your closeness to Him, but you should weep over compromise.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have of us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." He said that he's saying that, you know, these people, they were saved and they walked after me and they were right there with me. We were all on the same page. We were all King James Bible. We were all for soul winning. We were all for salvation by faith and by grace. We were all for that. But then they turned out to be the enemies of the cross of Christ. They compromised.
Yes.
They took a step back. Hey, you know, we don't need no more. We don't need church members. We don't need teenagers who find out that another teenager or another church member's done something that's wrong and they've backslidden and they're doing something wrong. We don't need you talking about it in the hallways of the church. We don't need you about it meeting at the coffee club and talking about it. What we need is you on your knees before God and praying and weeping for them.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Amen.
We don't need no gossip. We need you weeping for them. Weep. One of the greatest things I feel like that Dr. Scott's taught me at college, and you know, just through his preaching, is that, you know, preaching is more, and pastoring is more than just getting up and preaching. Preaching is more than getting up and trying, you know, and it's so much fun trying to get up there and, you know, rip people's faces off. But preaching and pastoring is restoring others. Is restoring others. It's getting a burden for other people and saying, you know, this person's fallen, but by the grace of God, I will help restore them to where they're supposed to be. You should weep over when other brethren fall. Hey, you should, when a church member leaves or somebody here leaves this church, you know, we don't need you going out saying, "Oh, did you hear they left? I can't believe they did that. I can't believe the way they left. I can't believe they did this." Hey, we need you weeping. We need you to weep for those church members. We don't need you talking about them. We don't need you telling other people about them. We definitely don't need you telling the world about them. We need you weeping for them. That's what we need. We need you to fall on your face before God and weep for those people that have compromised.
Amen.
Quit trying. College is so prevalent. But man, so many people just like say, oh, you know, I'm going to lift myself up by pushing other people down. I'm going to make myself look like more of a man of God by going around telling what this person got caught doing, or this person got kicked out of college, or I'm going to try to make myself look better. Hey, we don't need nobody to try to raise themselves up around here. We need somebody that's going to get on their face before God and weep for others. You should weep over his commandments. You should weep over your closeness to God. And you should weep over compromise. And last of all, you should weep over a cause. In Acts chapter 21, verse 13, Paul was wanting to go to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit did not want Paul to go. And then Paul answered here after he sent the prophet to come tell him. He said, then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, you know, last time I checked, the Holy Spirit has down, as far as I know, I've never heard of the Holy Spirit telling anybody not to go soul winning. I've never heard the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know, you probably got to take a break during the summer. I've never heard of that. I never heard the Holy Spirit Pastor Ross getting up here saying, teenagers, just relax this summer. You've gone hard. You've gone every Wednesday. Just relax. Kick back. I never heard of the Holy Spirit telling about that. I've never heard the Holy Spirit telling a bus worker not to go on Saturday. I've never heard the Holy Spirit telling an adult not to go on Saturday morning. Amen. I've never heard that before. And Paul is saying that, you know, they're telling me not to go. And he says, I'm going to break my heart. I'm going to weep. Don't you understand? I'm not ready just to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem. I'm ready to die. You know, you should weep over the lost in your ministries here. You should get a hold of a cause here. Teenagers, get a hold of a cause. Man, get a hold of a cause. Hey, you know, if you get a hold of a cause, you're gonna be so focused on something else that everything in your life that you're struggling with, it's pretty much gonna take care of yourself. Because if you get focused on reaching others, then you're gonna live a life to where God can bless you to do that. Amen. Weep for a cause. Amen. Not only should you weep for a cause, but weep for a country. Not gonna turn to a particular verse. Like I said, I studied out the word weep and wept and weepeth and a number of different things. But all through the Old Testament, I'm sure many of you know this, but all through the Old Testament, the prophets wept for Israel. And they spent many times, you know, just crying out for God to do something for Israel. Hey, you know, I believe we need to weep for our country today. And I believe we got to get serious about this, about our nation. We got to get serious about seeing something done for God. And I know sometimes it's easy to think, well, we're in Jasonville, Indiana. How are we ever going to change a nation? Well, that's exactly the attitude right there that's not going to get it done. Sitting there thinking that you're insignificant is not going to get it. Hey, you know, if we got determined on reaching Jasonville, you know, we may not be able to put an end to abortion across America right now, just right here. We may not be able to get the Bibles back in every public school, but if we go out and we reach every person in Linton, we can get the Bible back in Linton public school. If we go out and reach every person in Duggar, we can get the Bible back in Duggar. If we reach every person in Shackamack, we can get the Bible back in that school. If we can reach every person around here, hey, you know, you never know when you're going to go out and you're going to win that next D.L. Moody. You never know when you're going to go out and you're going to reach that next great Billy Sunday. You never know when you're going to go out and reach him. It was Dr. Lee Robertson came from Indiana.
Yes, he did.
You never know when you're going to reach the next Dr. Lee Robertson. He's going to build one of the greatest churches in all the world, in all of history. You never know when that's going to happen. You know, we got to get serious about seeing our nation. Hey, you know, I like petitions, and I thank God for Brother Miller who sends these petitions, and I'm glad, you know, I think we should all sign them, but bless God, I'm more for prayer.
Yeah.
I'm more for prayer. Prayer is going to get more done than petitions.
Amen.
Weeping is going to get more done than petitions.
Amen.
Prayer is going to get more done than marching at Congress. Because
right.
Yes, we can't do it alone. God has to move in America to see something done. You know, I wouldn't, not a man alive in here would say, you know, I'm just going to let the Chinese or the Russian government or whoever they want to march right in here and just take over our nation. Not a man in here would be ready to go to war for that. But yet I wonder why you let the liberals and you let everybody else across the nation take away what God gave us here in this country.
Amen.
And you don't pray and you don't go soul winning. Why let them take it over? I'd rather let another country come here and I'll put up a fight. I'd rather let them take it over than to see a country go to the stinking pits of hell.
Yes.
Amen.
get serious about seeing our nation brought back to God. Hey, you know, I was preparing for this, and I was thinking about John. Dr. John Rice told a story when he got took into heaven one time, and he said that God showed him. He said he had a dream, and God showed him that what he could have had if he only would have asked. And I thought about that, but God spoke to me. He said, hey, you know, I need to think, our generation, I wonder what God, I wonder if God would take us there. And he said, hey, you know what, America could be this if you would have surrendered. If you would have gave your heart to Christ. If you would have surrendered my call to preach. If you would have wept. If you would have prayed. America could have been this. America could have been saved. Weep for a cause. Get a hold of a cause. If you get a hold of this, it'll prevent a lot of things. It'll prevent a lot of sins. My time's almost up, but I believe that God needs us to all weep. I don't know what God's working on here tonight, man. It's been some great messages from these fellows down here, and they've worked in my heart. Each and every one spoke to them. Maybe tonight, though, we need to come out and make a decision. I pray to God you would. Not because don't get me wrong, it's encouragement to see somebody respond to your preaching, but more because I want to see something done here. And I want to see something done for America. I want to see something done for Jacksonville, Indiana. I thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Aaron, for the good message. Folks, you've heard tonight four young men who poured their heart out. They come to preach to you what God had given them. And I'm very, very proud of all four of them. I thank God for them and very proud of them, what God's doing in their life. But you know, that wasn't just a show that was put on tonight. That was the Word of God preached. And we need to listen to it. And many, many things was said tonight. Justin came and he preached, and basically what it was is, do you really love Jesus? That's a good message. That's a good question. Do you really love Jesus? And then Caleb come along and told us why Isaiah was willing to be sent. Some good points. Are we willing? Are we willing to be sent? These are things that we need to face ourselves. We've got young people here. I'm thankful for the four men, young men here. But, you know, there's others I'm sure that God would like to call. I feel confident that God would want to call other young men in this church to preach the Word of God, and young ladies to be their mates and work with them, and all of these things that God could use young ladies for, school teachers, and all of these things. I'm sure God wants you to step out and do. I believe that. We need it. And so we ought to listen to that. And Ben come along, told us about salvation. Wonderful, wonderful thing, the salvation that we receive in Christ Jesus. You may be here tonight, you may not be saved. You see, we're not telling you you're not. We're saying, though, are you saved? That's important. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Christ. Amen. He's it. He alone has paid the penalty for our sin. And then Aaron come on and preach to us about what should we weep for. And we've got a lot of things that we need to weep for. Amen. And so what I'm going to do is simply this. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit deal with you. I think that's the way it should be, don't you? The Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit of God, convicts of sin. And we either respond to that or we don't. And I've just always been a believer in the precious Holy Spirit of God doing His work. I don't have to worry about Him doing His work. He'll do it. The only concern we have is, will we listen? Will we listen? Will we respond? But we have a wonderful, sweet, and Holy Spirit that presents Christ and teaches us about Jesus Christ. And He's here tonight. Yes, He is. He's here tonight. And I just want you to let God work in your heart. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to the altar. If you're here without Christ, please let us know as you come forward, and we'll get someone to take the Word of God, the Bible, and you and show you how you can be saved. That's a right good thing, don't you think? Amen. So let the Holy Spirit of God deal with your heart concerning salvation and concerning Christian service, dedication to God, There's many decisions that need to be made. And we're going to let you and the Holy Spirit make that decision. Amen.